One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I've lived day to day. And listen to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. With me, as always, my co-host, the Babadook of Babbling, Mr. Dave Callens.
Woo-hoo.
What was that?
As high as I could get, I'm sorry.
And Bobby.
Wait, do I don't get a sweet horror movie title?
No.
God damn it.
No,
you didn't like Babadook, so count yourself lucky.
I'm the It Follows of comedy, because I'll give you an STD that'll kill you.
Fair enough, that movie sucked too.
No, you'll just follow me around asking me for shit. A few things. I mentioned a few months ago, I went to L.A. for my uncle's funeral. While I was up there, my aunt gave me this big crate of one of those big Tupperware containers of pictures. And I didn't have time to go through it until recently. I went through. There wasn't much in there, but I did see a picture of me as a kid in there. And in the picture, I am eating something that I forgot existed, and that's probably for the best.
He's eating dirt.
I'm eating a bright green Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Hostess Pudding Pie.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember those, Bobby?
Oh, those were great. God. They wanted to see what they could do with food coloring in the 90s
they
and
really
how far
did.
They could take it.
I know that junk food predates the 90s, you know, by decades, but I really think that the early 90s was the pinnacle, the crescendo of companies seeing what they could get away with calorically, health-wise. It was just sugar anarchy.
It was the best thing about the 90s. It came from the fact that during the 80s was like the explosion of cartoons for kids.
Right.
Every cartoon you can think of, plus marketing all those cartoons for products. And then in the 90s, somebody just realized, like, we can just make shitty food out of all of this.
Yeah.
And they did. And the 90s exploded with that shit.
Yeah, you had a bunch of corn syrup coming into the market that you could congeal into a sugar-like thing.
Not only that, they started realizing, let's make the junk food and the toys and base the cartoon around that. It was so good. They're like, all right, okay, so we made this gigantic ball of sugar shaped like a shark. Street Sharks, that's the show.
And it was so addictive because that sugar rush, that the only way you could wean yourself off of it is if you got like a 2-pack-a-day candy cigarette habit to slowly wean yourself off.
No, it was insane. Like, all this stuff that would come out would never fly today. You remember Lifesavers candy had a soda?
Oh, God, I do remember that.
It was essentially like if you got a meth head to come over and melt down about 40 rolls of those candies and then just add Sprite to it, that's what it was. It was essentially liquid candy, and kids would drink fucking 4 of them.
Lifesavers soda. Is there ever a soda with a more ironic name?
Yeah.
So just be called Life Shortener Soda.
No, it's so precisely, man. And like, I mean, I was remembering this stuff. And now the Hostess pudding pie I was eating, I was breaking it down in my head. I'm like, okay, so first it was a layer of hardened like donut glaze, followed by some green food coloring with God knows what in it, followed by a layer of this sugary infused dough, which was also hardened, and then filled with vanilla pudding, because if kids love one thing, it's vanilla.
This sounds delicious, actually. Just you recounting this, I can't wait to have one of these.
Oh, that's right. You used to be fat.
Let's go on eBay, guys. Let's go on eBay and order a whole fucking box of these.
I keep trying to wrap my head around like all the shit that was out, and it's like now discontinued. And then another thing occurred to me as I'm like going through this time warp looking at this pudding pie is, do you guys remember in the 90s how almost every news special, like one of those, like, you know, 60 Minutes or whatever, was about how they could not figure out why everyone was fat? Remember, they called it the obesity epidemic.
Yeah.
Every goddamn news show was like, people are growing. These people are morbidly obese. We don't know why. It wasn't them telling us. It was them just like confused. Like, we have diet soda now. Like, I don't understand. In the 50s, they had regular Coke and no one was fat. Now we have diet Coke and people are fat. I can't fucking do it. And you know what the best part about these specials were? They'd be intercut with commercials for the fucking products that was causing it. I'm sure we can't find this because I don't know anyone that would set their VCR to tape a news special about obesity, but wouldn't it be great to get a VHS and then have it be like, and after this, we'll try and figure out what is killing our children and what is making us fat after a word from our sponsors. Hey, kids, do you like Lifesavers candy?
Yeah!
Do you like soda?
Yeah!
Hey, check out this kid that's riding a skateboard and playing guitar. He's cool. You want to be just like him, right?
Yeah!
Well, then drink Lifesavers soda. It comes in red, purple and green.
Can I get one?
Can you get one? I'm going to fire a fire hose full of sugar right in your fucking mouth. Yeah, drink it, you little faggot. Lifesaver soda, it's red.
You did used to be able to say faggot on TV. I do remember that.
Yeah. No, but I...
I like how as we're having this conversation, Bobby's actually drinking a can of gummy worm soda.
That's right, that's true. I was wondering, like, what that slogan, Make America Great Again, what it referred to, like, what period of time, because I actually think we're in kind of the best time in American history, you know, so it would be weird to think of the past as being better, but maybe they're talking about the 90s back then, because if you think about it, you're right, we had the obesity epidemic, and I don't know if you guys know this, but starting a few years ago, Mexico actually surpassed the U.S. as the most obese nation in
the
world.
Good for them.
No, we need to make America great again. We need to get back to the 90s where we were the fattest.
Hey, look, they don't got a space program. You know, they need this.
If Trump wanted the 90s, if that's what he was looking for, he would have appointed Vanilla Ice to the cabinet by now.
I'm just saying we had a lot hotter women back then. That's all I'm saying.
You know what was the best part of the obesity epidemic, if you want to call it that, is they tricked us twice. Because after, like, they fucking shoved, you know, all this crap, you know, pudding pies and Lifesaver soda down our throat, and then, like, discontinued all that. Remember the clear craze?
Of course. Yeah, Pepsi Clear.
Crystal Pepsi, Zima, like, even clear deodorants. Their whole, like, point was, like, hey, look, it's clear. There can't be anything bad in it.
Right.
Look, you can see right through it. There's nothing in there. And people were like, yeah, that makes sense. Crystal Pepsi had just as much sugar as a regular Pepsi. Like, but it's clear. It's not fucking you up.
There's nothing hiding in here.
Yeah. It also had worse chemicals to make it clear. Yeah. So it was worse for you than regular Pepsi.
I think they just didn't add the caramel coloring. Because if you look, caramel coloring is the ingredient on most sodas. I think they just didn't add that. And they're like, listen, we're going to save a buttload on A, caramel coloring,
right,
and B, marketing to stupid people.
Exactly. Oh, and then after the clear craze, when they started offering healthy alternatives to soda like Fruitopia, do you remember that fucking poison? Fruitopia was this sugary fruit drink.
Now I think you're making shit up. I'm just going on record.
No, Fruitopia.
Fruitopia sounds like a derogatory term a super, super old dude would use for a group of people he thought was gay.
Sounds like a Pixar short.
No, it was this like neon-colored fruit drink that had like easily 20 more packets of sugar dumped into it than a soda, but it tasted like fruit. So if it tasted like marginally like a kiwi, they marketed it as health food. And I remember drinking it, and like it would hurt my throat when I was drinking it, and I didn't know why. I was like, well, this is certainly awesome. It's green. That's cool. I'm a kid. I like neat colors. Every time I take a sip, it feels like I have a head cold for 5 minutes. But
Dave, we figured out where the rasp came from.
Yes, that's right. That's the Fruitopia did that.
All you guys who want to be successful comedians, start finding an old wholesaler for Fruitopia.
Check eBay.
I'll say that's what did this to me, unless that they're still a company, in which case they might be litigious and sue me for libel, in which case I take it all back. But if they're gone, which I hope they are, then yes, I'll blame them.
I say you go the other way, and you say if there is still a company, you keep saying it, and you start suing them, saying they ruined your burgeoning opera career.
Yeah. And I'm sure Dr. Wisebro, the throat clinic, will agree to all that.
This rant has been brought to you by the guy who loses his shit over Ecto Cooler, by the way. Just want to point that out.
To be fair, I cut it with champagne. So, good day. No, but all those TV commercials came flooding back to me, and I was thinking about all the TV I watched as a kid, you know, whether it was motivated by sweets or not. And I was an only child, and TV affected me in a really weird way, which is...
The subliminal messages really got to me.
Yeah.
After I killed my parents with a claw hammer in their sleep, I'm like, maybe I should cut back on family matters. Now,
did I do that?
Yeah, why don't you just build a super advanced animatronic robot and try and hit on the girl next door? What are you talking about?
Well, that's the thing. I didn't realize, since I didn't have like siblings to set me straight, and I was kind of the weird kid and like a loner, TV gave me these weird ideals about how I should be living my life as a kid. I didn't realize that like this is not a real representation of how kids act. Like, I always felt like life was passing me by because like I didn't have a group of friends that went to this cool burger shop every day after school and had like a guy that would do magic tricks and give us sage advice. You know, I didn't have that. I didn't have a midnight society. You know, I didn't like I had no group of friends to go out in the woods and Saturday nights and tell scary stories. I thought kids were doing this, and I thought like they just didn't invite me. This is happening.
No, the only reason you go out in the woods as a kid is to have a drinking contest.
That's right. Or to masturbate to one single page of porn that you bought for $5 off your friend.
That's
then
just
you hide it under a tree stump for next time.
Yeah. No, but like, I don't know. Like, that was my thing. Whereas I always felt like this is how kids live. I don't think it was like till like college where I'm like, oh, okay, no one did that.
Right.
Like,
see,
he
I think
still doesn't get it. This is not how adults live. Like, right. He's watching shows like, why don't I have five other white friends that I hang out in a coffee shop with and we talk about our problems?
How come every time I try and go make meth in an RV with a crazy dude from New Mexico, shit doesn't happen to me? I mean, technically, Ryan, I'd like to think that you're just living out the Pete Holmes new show, Crashing, just by going around and being a stand-up comic.
Okay, I've heard a lot about this show.
It's pretty good.
Is it good?
Yeah. Pete Holmes is great.
I've heard
Pete
mixed
Holmes
things.
Is great. I haven't heard about the show, though.
What's the premise?
He's a stand-up comic. It's supposed to be his start to stand-up comedy, and a lot of it is autobiographical. Like, he comes in the very first episode and catches his wife cheating on him
okay.
and, like, goes from there, and that's actually what happened to him in real life.
Really?
And he's talked about it a few times, I think, on Rogan and stuff, but it's good. It shows a lot of the inside stuff that we all just kind of nod our heads and go, oh, yeah, I remember that.
So
I remember doing that.
It's him starting from scratch as a stand-up.
Basically, starting from a very low level, yeah.
Well, let me ask you something. This reminds me of something. Do you guys ever miss being new to comedy at all? And I know that's a weird question because for those that aren't comics, being new sucks. It really does. You get no stage time, no respect.
But it's fun because you're doing it with a group of other people. If you have that group that you're doing with, and I remember doing that, and that was really fun. It's such an exciting thing, especially when you first discover it, because even if I take a lot of time off from stage, I always know I'm going to go back and do it because it's something that's fun to me, and you feel like you found something once you start doing it. And there's something about that first period of time where you're like, oh my God, why haven't I been doing this before? This is amazing. Stand-up is what I was supposed to do a long time ago.
Right.
So yeah, to some extent you miss that. And then for me, it was more not like, oh man, I miss being new. It was more like, I miss having time to go to open mics every night.
That's
I miss
true.
Doing that. That was just a time in my life where I had more free time to do all that shit.
Well, you know, the thing is, like I said, it sucked because you only got 3 minutes at open mics and you were treated very poorly. Like, some comics make it a point to mistreat the new guys and, like, emotionally bully them and make them feel, unwanted in you know, whatever club. But at the same time, I was just thinking about this. I miss the enthusiasm of when I started, every open mic felt like the Tonight Show to me. I felt like I was, like, this was my make or break. Like, I remember saying stupid shit to myself, like, you never know who could be in that audience tonight.
Talent scouts.
Yeah, they could be. Yeah.
I heard the guy from Conan was here. That's what the booker told me.
Yeah. No, I missed that. I missed that enthusiasm.
I miss believing that.
No, I do.
Looking around, I'm like, wait a second. I know every person in here. Oh my God, I know one of the bookers from Conan.
No, yeah, that's the thing. Like, you joke, but I do miss believing that. I do miss thinking good things were going to happen to me eventually.
Stupidity is bliss. I don't even say ignorance. It's pure stupidity. It's bliss.
And, do you remember being at work at your day job, knowing you had a show that night?
Yeah. Practicing your material.
Butterflies. You could think
of
nothing.
And your coworker coming up and saying, hey, you should use this in your skit.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I'll totally use it.
Yeah, and then you dick punch them because you're in the cubicle and they're standing fucking perfect level for that. No, but I miss that because nowadays, like, I'll be in my kitchen. I'll be like, what are we doing Friday? Aaron will look at the calendar. You have a show. Fuck! So, I mean, that's what it's come to. It's become repetitive and fucking boring, and I so miss that enthusiasm and blind optimism. I miss that. Speaking of which, I don't think Faison loves doing a comedy anymore either.
Oh,
you see what happened to him?
He's a little bit in a physical comedy, looks
right.
like.
Prop comedy.
Some act outs.
He did.
A yes and going on there.
He decided that 120-pound ballet was a prop and he was Carrot Top.
Now, Bobby, for those that don't know, what happened with Faison Love?
So Faison, if you guys don't know, he's a very, very large man. He's a comedian. He's an elf. He's in a few other things. He's a big dude.
You probably know him best as Big Worm from the Friday franchise.
So the dude is like easily 300 pounds. Large, large guy. And he got into an altercation at an airport where he was talking to some people. Verbal altercation at first, where he was talking to some people at a valet stand.
And this is all caught on security camera.
Yeah, because it's a fucking airport.
Yes.
So he's talking to some people, and he clearly goes over and has words with this small valet guy. When I say small, I mean like looks about 120 soaking wet.
Right.
And he's talking to this guy, and they have some words back and forth, it looks like, but you can't hear too much. And then the valet turns around to walk away. Faison, very bravely, mind you, he's going against a guy who's literally one-third of his size, very bravely waits for him to turn around, and then, like a coward, grabs him from behind, throws him around, picks him up, throws him head first into a solid like counter type thing.
The rental counter.
And then basically has to be separated by the other employees. And there were two things that are angry about this. One, Faison Love's already a piece of shit because he vehemently went after the Cosby accusers and was like, these sluts are lying. Long after it was clear. Like, when they got to number 55, he was still...
Right when it got to Janice Dickinson, right. It's like, okay, she's definitely not lying.
Right, so he's already in that kind of piece of shit apologist for rape category. But he does this cowardly act, attacking a man a third his size from behind. By the way, that guy's also at work, so it's not exactly like you're on the street and it's equal footing. He has an extra thing keeping him from fighting back.
Right.
So he attacks the guy from behind, throws him around, ragdolls him around, and then later on tape, after he got arrested, obviously, was like, hey, man, he spit on me, or he was talking shit to me.
Yeah.
And you're like, when he doesn't have magical spit that does a 180, because he's turned the other way.
There was a second spitter.
Yeah. And second of all, who the fuck cares, you fucking coward? You're a monster, and you attacked a tiny dude from behind.
Right.
It doesn't matter what he said.
Here's what extra pissed me off about those situations. I saw at least one friend of all ours on Facebook defending Faison
Love. I did, too.
Saying, hey, I've met him before. He's a cool guy. I don't give a shit.
Yes.
Does not matter.
And I believe his statement was like, if somebody talks shit to you, you just gotta fucking back it up. Fuck you, dipshit. That's a coward move.
Oh,
and it's so infuriating to see people defend him, especially after he didn't just go like, you know, I'm not sure about those Cosby ladies. He's like, fuck these whores. They're lying. Yeah. These are lying bitches, each and every one of them. He is generally a horrible human being.
By the way, what is this thing that I see a lot of people do where they've met someone one time, and since they weren't a horrible piece of shit in that chance encounter,
cool. They would never do that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, I've told you, through training, I met War Machine 3 or 4 times, and he was always fine to me.
Right.
Hey, he couldn't have done that. He said, what's up, one time to me. That was a Zach Miller retard. When I was talking shit on Steve Hofstetter, he was like, hey, that guy said hello to me once. He needs to shut his mouth. What a prick that guy is.
Well, it's a mixture of being a sycophant, like just like I'm going to suck up to this guy because I hope maybe he sees my tweet and then I'm good on his side.
Right.
Number two is like, oh, I want everybody to know I met this guy, so I'm kind of a big deal too. And then number three, it's just being a fucking idiot who thinks that because you once had a positive interaction
mostly
with this human being,
thing,
there's no possibility that they also do bad things on the side.
Well, yeah, that is a weird fucking way to look at the world. Like, I saw them not hitting a woman in this brief chance encounter, so that doesn't happen at all.
Yeah. I mean, your excuse is like, I went to 3 of Cosby's shows, there was at least 50 women in the audience, and he didn't drug a single one while we were there.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you are, like, a close personal friend of this person you're defending, then, you know, then you can say, I've known the person for 10 years, and they've never acted that way in front of me. That's one thing.
That still does not excuse it.
No, right. It doesn't excuse
it. But at least you have some character basis.
Right. And you know, that could at least lead to, the guy was acting out of character. He saw red. What can I tell you, man?
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
you just
sometimes
see,
you
red.
See red.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, too. I'm positive those people that defend him, I've met him before, he's cool. If it played out a different way, like let's say Faison took a swing and the guy ducked and knocked Faison out with one punch.
Right.
They'd be like, oh, that's fucking sucker punch, whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
They'd completely be on the other side. Like, that guy's a fucking piece of shit knocking out Faison Love.
The same thing actually happened with one of my favorite singers, Glenn Danzig, in the infamous video from like 2003, 2004, where he gets knocked out by a guy that was supposed to be opening for him. In this video, you know, this guy is clearly, they're having a heated thing, which later turned out to be that he cut them off the bill or something like that.
Right.
He's backstage signing autographs after a show. The guy says something like, well, at least say sorry to me. Danzig shoves him in the chest, says, fuck you, motherfucker. The guy takes one running punch. Not only knocks Danzig out, but he pirouettes and falls
like
to the ground.
Yeah, like a stage punch.
It really does.
Danzig
and
flew into it.
The first thing you hear all of Danzig's fans say is, fucking sucker punching asshole. Like, Danzig made the first fucking move.
Yeah. It's not a sucker punch by definition means the other guy has not made a move on you.
Right.
Otherwise, it's called fighting back.
Here's what you don't see in the video, because it happened for years afterwards, is that band had to break up because they got so much hate mail and, like, you know, people like coming to their shows just to fuck with them.
North Side Kings,
right. And they're not a thing anymore because someone more famous took a punch from one of them. them. And it's like, well, hey, that's someone I like, so you suck.
Well, the flip side, the guy got, I think, at least a couple of books out of the incident.
I know. That's kind of weird. How many books can you write about one punch you through? Buster Douglas only has one. Do you think his career will survive this or no?
I mean, obviously,
he didn't have much of one.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he was certainly did well as a stand-up. He toured around and he, you know, was on TV and stuff. And to that, more power to him. I have no problem with that. It's more of just the human being behind that is a fucking horrible person. I don't care about his career, but like, I think it'd be funny to watch those guys. I think you should pick each one of those guys who try and just shittily, cowardly defend him, and you should get Faison to jump those guys from behind and see how they feel afterwards. Right. I have a feeling they're not going to be defending him as much.
Ooh, speaking of horrible, horrible people, Tommy Loren. Am I saying that right? I don't really care if I'm not.
I say cunt.
That is, that's the blonde girl from Fox News.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know her, she's that horrible, like, admittedly attractive, I'll say mainstream attractive, blonde girl, 20-something on, I guess it's called The Blaze is the show. Basically, it's just her.
By the way, you should never have a show called The Blaze that has nothing to do with weed. That is a misnomer.
Sounds like a Doug Benson vehicle. Anyway, she basically had figured out a long time ago that, oh, if I just say these horrible things, I will get money and a fan base. Like,
yes.
She's like the female counterpart to that Milo Poopadoopolis, what's his name?
Or Milo is actually just a cheaper, less creative British gay ripoff of Ann Coulter. So you could just call her a younger Ann Coulter.
Right. Very good. Yeah. So she just says horrible things. Just like, basically her platforms are like, hey, poor people, you need to stop being poor and get your shit together.
Yeah.
Hey, Mexicans, stop being Mexican. Like, these are her platforms. And a bunch of fucking hillbillies go, right on.
Yeah.
I'd fuck you, too. You know, so, you know, that's who she is.
I wish I could see that chick's fan mail. Don't you think her fan mail would be one of the most
interesting? Mostly dick pics, I'm sure.
Well, right, but I think it would be one of the most. I think there'd be a lot of dudes like, listen, I got a nice spread in Alabama. I got 3 quads. I think maybe you should come on down, hang out a little bit. We'll just see where things go. We have a lot of the same beliefs. We both love guns.
Yeah. And we hate the poor people.
Hate
even
them
though,
good.
Even though I'm a poor person that I've just convinced myself I'm not. So anyway, she has lost her hosting spot, at least temporarily. She is suspended because she said something that did not mesh well with the far extremist fundamentalist right wing.
Yeah, she went off message a little bit.
Yeah, she said that she's in favor of pro-choice. So it's funny when she gets to something that might affect her. I guarantee if she had had a hysterectomy, she'd be saying, you sluts need to stop getting pregnant if you don't want to. because it is an issue that potentially might affect her, suddenly it's, maybe not that one. They're like, good day. Like, she literally lost her hosting gig because she only agrees with 90% of their ideals.
Right. Or 99. I mean, 99. I think, yeah.
99, yes. Like, she lost her job for being not that horrible. That's frightening.
I wonder if you know what's funny is it'd be great if she tried to spin it in such a way that they'd accept it. If she was like, listen, guys, I have a thing. I am pro-choice. I believe a woman should get an abortion. And right as everybody's getting mad, they're like, but. Only if the doctor uses an AK-47. And then everybody's like, yeah, all right.
Even then, no, you have to be 100% on that. No abortion, and the pregnant mom should have to hold the AK-47.
I can't even watch or listen to her because she's so fucking horrible.
There are plenty of far-right people who espouse views that are, you know, I might not agree with, but they're still making intelligent arguments. She's just one of those people who have no intelligent arguments.
Yeah.
She is the rights version of just eye candy that speaks
right.
And says
yeah.
Messages that they believe in, and there's no substance. I saw her on one of those debate shows, and I don't remember if it was like a Bill Maher or one of those, but there's nothing behind those eyes. There's
no.
Absolutely nothing but dull space and a little bird flying like just around looking for anything to hunt.
Right.
People have dug up some old shit from her from before she was famous. And she
when she was 10? What are you talking about? She's fucking
she
like
18.
She
wasn't ultra-conservative, but she was just as stupid.
Yeah.
See the one about Woodward and Bernstein?
No.
She said something like, oh, I would have loved to meet Woodward and Bernstein and Nixon. They changed so much. Like, she doesn't know that they were, like, opposing parties.
Just a fan of Deep Throat, if you know what I mean.
She is exactly the person that she speaks out against now because she knows it'll make Republicans go, yeah. Like, they found tweets from before, like you said, before she was famous. And it was, like, the same woman that would say things like, all you people that want welfare need to work hard and stop being fucking poor.
Yeah.
It, like, her tweet actually said, the bad news is I had to get a job. Good news is my mom's store is hella chill. So this is the same person that's like that likes to tell pull yourself up from the bootstrap stories. Same person.
And she also, I think it was recently International Women's Day or something like that recently, and she had a rant about that where she's like, what the hell do we need a Women's Day for? Women have it fine. I'm a woman, and I don't have any problems.
Okay, let me say this, though, because here's the thing. I actually believe that she has firsthand experience to think that that is valid, and here's why. Women have to experience a lot more shit than men on a day-to-day basis for the most part. Now, here's the difference. If you're
pick some Bobby, mainly.
Right. If you, well, it depends how big they are. If you're a super poor coal miner in West Virginia and a dude, and you're a super rich heiress in Beverly Hills, you have a way better life as a woman than that man. That's just the fiscal circumstances. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
But there's also a trade-off, which is if you are a decently well-off to even middle-class, very attractive white woman, you are the most privileged human being on earth. Because let me tell you, everybody will do everything for you.
That's correct.
You can be the son of a fucking Rockefeller as a 16-year-old man. Still, unless another man is trying to get money from you, nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah.
If you are a really attractive, let's say upper middle class white woman, the world is your fucking oyster. People will literally lie down in the street to have you walk over them so you don't dirty your shoes. Like,
right.
She has probably led the most insanely privileged life that none of us can even imagine. She probably, I've been around super attractive white women. They get free cab rides. They get off of tickets. Like, everybody says hi to them and it is super nice. Like, the world is an amazingly different place when you're that person.
Right. And so her with the, why do we need Women's Day? I'm fine. Like, yeah. That is the exact same mentality. It's like, racism doesn't exist among cops. Hey, I'm a white guy. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Well,
I know. I imagine you wouldn't have.
Well, no, I think it's the other way because obviously she is a woman, but I think it's like from a different perspective. It'd be like if you grew up as like Willow Smith, like Will Smith's kid, and you're like, I just don't understand this whole thing about racism. You know, I've had a great life. It's like, yeah you have, but everybody else kind of.
That's more accurate, yes. Yeah, anyway, so I hope she doesn't get her fucking show back, and Let's transition away from fucking people that are shitty. How was your night last night, Bobby?
No, I'm just going to go back to people who are shitty. Do you guys ever have that friend where they fuck you over so many times? It's not really their fault. It actually becomes your fault for trusting that they're not going to.
Oh, absolutely.
So I have one of those friends, and he sent out a text message yesterday in the afternoon, and it was like, hey, guys, let's get together and watch Rogue One at our buddy's house. Rogue One being the old Star Wars movie.
Had you seen it yet?
I have, but okay. He hasn't, and we all wanted to get together and do it. And so we have another group of friends, three of them, two guys and a girl, who live in a house. And he's like, let's go over to their house. We'll all get together, and we'll go watch Rogue One. And everybody starts chiming in, like, yeah, great, yeah, oh, man. And me personally, I'm like, yeah, I've been working crazy days. I would love to. Yeah. I haven't seen you guys in forever.
Cut loose a little bit.
Right, let's all do this. All right, sweet. So we send the text back and forth. Okay, it sounds great. What time are we doing this? Great, I'll be here at this time. I get off work here, and we all plan it. So I get ready, I go, I get some beer, I get all this stuff, I show up to the door super excited, I'm hoping most of them are there by then. I open the door, none of the people that were talking on that text string are there, including the guy who started it.
Intervention.
Right.
Sit down.
You're not too far off from what I was thinking happened. So
and you have beer, so it's super
right, I know. Well, this will at least be a fun intervention. The only person who's there is the girl who's a friend of ours. And she's there with her new boyfriend, looking very confused as to why I'm there, because she's all alone, clearly in a date-type scenario. And I walk in,
there's
I go...
There's a violinist next to their table.
She literally, like, she comes up to the door, and I can see her through the glass door, like, looking super confused as she's walking up and opens the door, and I'm sitting there super excited with some six-packs, and she's like, what's going on? I was like, are you... So you weren't on that text message string, I guess. Did you know, like, 10 of us are all coming over right now? She's like, no, I'm on a date. What are you talking about? I have a guy here. And we're like,
Well, that date's about to turn into a Brazzers video.
Right. And then she's like, who even set this up? And I was like, it's our other friend, David. And she's like, David doesn't even live here. What are you talking about? And I was like, yeah, but, you know, he planned this whole thing. And so she's very reluctantly lets me in to wait for everybody else. And I sit there awkwardly as they're like huddling on the couch watching baking shows.
Oh, God.
And I'm sitting there and now I'm like, oh, man, this is
awkward.
Are
you trying to make small talk at this point?
No, I'm like, I'm going to sit this one out until everybody else shows up. And then I'll be covered, right? Because right now I look like an asshole who showed up out of nowhere. She wasn't on the text message string. I look like an asshole who showed up and crashed her date.
Well, look like or are.
Or are,
yeah,
either way.
This is what happened. Oh, by the way, as you're sitting there in silence to the beer just just cracked.
5 minutes goes by. Nobody shows up. 10 minutes goes by. I send a message to the string. Hey, where is everybody? Nobody shows up. Finally, I call up the guy who started the whole thing, who said, hey, let's go. I call him up. He answers the phone somewhat confused. I go, hey, bud, you showing up? Where are you? And he's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, what? The thing, the Rogue One thing. What are you showing up? He's like, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, you sent this whole group text saying you wanted to come watch this movie tonight at somebody else's house, mind you.
Yeah.
Now I'm here, and this is a very awkward situation. He's like, oh, I didn't mean tonight.
Bro, are you fucking serious?
And then
what?
And what happened? What turns out that was his excuse. What happened was he had texted everybody, "Hey, let's go do this," and then just stopped answering his phone as 44 text messages came in as people agreeing to go do it, and then just assumed nobody was going. And so he sat. So he's
now. What about the rest of the people?
Yeah. What about?
Did
how are
show
you the
up?
Only one?
They're coming later. Like they've all kind of got their things where they're just a bit later than they intended to be. So I sat there awkwardly for about 35 minutes.
This actually sounds like a very elaborate setup. On
yeah.
The
It did.
This guy's the king of pranks.
Right. I thought her roommate, which was one of the guys who had texted back, like, yeah, we're doing it. All right, I'll be home in like 35 minutes. He even said, oh, hey, our other roommate's home. Go ahead and go there. She'll help you. She'll let you in and you can wait for us.
Meanwhile,
and,
there's a second text thread without Bobby. That's like,
right,
yeah, he's
we
totally
got him. We got him. We fucked him over good. We ended up fucking over her, really. She's the one who got super pranked on this.
Yeah.
But it was a super awkward moment. And the entire time her and her boyfriend are just looking at me, not believing that this all happened. I was like, look at my text. I'm like, I don't want to read your fucking text messages. Just stay away. Fine. Yeah. You came over unexpected. And I was like, no, I got invited.
Yeah.
Eventually, thankfully, the other roommates who lived there showed up with a few other people, and I was a little bit validated. But for about 35 minutes, I was the guy sitting there.
Just, third wheel?
Yeah. I'm so sorry I'm here. I don't know what to say. I guess I should leave, but I called up the other guys, and they're supposedly almost here, and I don't know what to do.
Now, why didn't you leave? You should have left.
Few reasons.
Okay.
First thing I did when I got there, because I'm thinking, again, even though they're all alone, I'm thinking everybody's 2 minutes behind me. I cracked a beer, started drinking, you know, lit a bong up, you know, had a good time.
Oh, my God. So they're trying to sit there on a date, and Bobby's firing up a bong right next to him on the couch. What are you doing?
He's like Floyd from True Romance.
To be fair, we were passing the bong around, so it was actually a communal group thing there.
And they're still being shitty to you? Now I'm upset with that.
No, to be fair,
you gave
they
them
were
a bong, and he's asking you to leave?
No, they were passing bong around. I just showed up.
Agree with that.
Let me get a little toot off that one.
But then I realized after everybody got there and we all started ranting about how funny it is that this guy did something, at some point we all kind of looked at each other and we're like, you know what though? This is our fault. Because this is not the first time he's done. I love him to death, but this is not the first time he's gotten confused about his own planned activities. He once scheduled his own birthday party in the wrong place. Like, he's done all this kind of stuff before. It's our fault for accepting that the world would be as it seemed to be.
Now, two things. First of all, I like how you're acting like, oh, but they did show up and everything was fine. That woman's date was not less ruined.
Right,
more
I
people
know.
Showed up.
Yeah, I know.
Like, her date was just even further ruined.
But we had fun, so it was all good.
That's good, as long as you had a good time. And then, secondly, tell me more about this guy. What's he do for a living? How do you know him?
Oh, I've known him since we were, I don't know, 8 or 9 years
that
old.
That I figured, because I can't see this guy coming in late to the party.
You wouldn't tolerate that shit.
No.
He's grandfathered in.
Yeah.
I can tell that.
Well, no, I still love him to death. He's actually a good guy. He's just a little ditzy in his head. He's an X-ray technician. So have fun with that next time you're in the hospital.
Oh. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that makes more sense because you get that on at DeVry or something, that degree, don't
no,
you?
He got in the Air Force, but then, yeah.
Okay. The lesser of the branches
of
military.
I mean, the military did make Eric Knowles a helicopter mechanic just because.
That's
so
right.
Their logic isn't
you have both thumbs.
Don't worry, he spent the war driving jet skis in Bahrain, so he was totally not it. He's not doing anything productive. Speaking of bad friends, though, Ryan, we had a really, really fun time at your party. You had a boys' night party.
That's
after
right.
The last taping last Saturday. Unfortunately, Dave couldn't make it. That was very sad. But
fortunate for him.
Yeah. That was a great time. It was like a poker night type thing, but it was too big to just be a poker night. So it was basically just a bunch of dudes broing out,
yep,
doing some bro things.
What we decided to do is because Aaron, along with Jared from the Gore Horseman's girlfriend, Groobs' girlfriend, a few of them, we're all leaving town together for like a girl's trip to a spa out there in Hucumba. So all of a sudden it dawned on me, like, all my best friends, wives, and girlfriends,
right,
will be out of town. So I decided, let's have the fucking converse of that. Let's have a boys' night here.
Yeah.
And so we'll grill some steaks. we'll play some poker, we'll get shitty. And I decided to make it a full-on, not just like not like a regular party that I'd throw. I decided to make it a boys-only thing just to make all the girls that were leaving town feel a little bit more comfortable.
Right, and that way we can walk around with our dicks out, right? Right?
Hey, that's never stopped before, Bobby.
That's true.
He came over in his robe.
But that's okay. Hey, if anybody gets offended, you guys have to defend me to the death.
Yeah, that's right.
Bobby has shown up at Ryan's house before, unannounced, with a couple cases of beer, saying, "No, everyone's coming over to watch a movie. What are you talking about?"
He's wearing a T-shirt with the dogs playing poker on it. God!
Yeah, so I showed up a bit later, and everybody's having a great time. By the time I was there, the party's already in full swing. You got the group of guys playing poker. Everybody else just kind of hanging out, doing stuff. I brought my fireball shooter, shooting fireballs at people. Oh, had a great time.
That was great.
And we were having the time of our lives, just doing dude shit, having fun, shooting the shit. And I got to say, Ryan, I was incredibly proud of you. I had a twinge of other dude in a relationship guy pride in something that you did that night that was very impressive.
He put the toilet seat down after he
went back. That toilet seat never went down. There was 30 dudes in that fucking house. We were out there, and at some point, some guy, I think he's a friend of a friend or something, we're all hanging out, and he just announces, "All right, guys, listen, I can get like two chicks over here. Maybe come on over and take off their clothes if everybody wants to put in some money." And immediately there is this shock where like five of us who all have wives or girlfriends and know we have wives or girlfriends make sudden eye contact. Yeah. And you're like, "Oh God, no, okay.
Help,
all right.
Help. I need an adult. I need a friend."
And my mind immediately goes to, I don't even like fucking like this idea of strippers anyway, because I think it's just a tease thing. But like my mind immediately goes to like, okay, well, fine. I've had a lot of fun here. I guess I'll just wait for 30 minutes before these ladies show up and I'll just leave, because I'm not going to ruin anybody else's fun time. So I'll just wait for this to happen and leave.
Right.
But I see in Ryan's eyes, I'm looking around at all the other married dudes and dudes with girlfriends and fiancés, I see in Ryan's eyes this sudden fear of, "I can't leave. I'm stuck here. There's no place for me to go."
Yeah. And that's the thing that I had. Because now, first of all, absolutely not was my first thought.
Right.
Because, first of all, there was no money involved. It was the guy was like, "I am friends with two strippers that are okay. down to come over for free and just walk around naked and get wild." I'm like, okay, so no. Secondly, like, even even if I was a piece of shit and was like fine with it, Erin would fucking find out. Right. I don't know how, but
she just comes in and sniffs.
No,
there was boobs in here.
Let me tell you exactly what happened. One of them would come in and be like, "What's up, boys?" Throw her fucking bra, and I'd be like, "Where did that go?"
Right.
"Where did that go?" And like
there's
like,
glitter everywhere.
I'd be like, "All right, shut up, everyone, look for that." It'd be the 12 drunk guys on our hands and knees looking for this bra. We would not be able to find it. Erin would walk in the next day and be hanging from the ceiling fan. Like, how did that? I'm sure I looked there. So that's number one. Second thing is that I knew that even though you guys were not down, you were not going to say no. It was going to fall on me.
Right.
Because all you guys would just fucking leave and I'd be the only one getting in trouble.
Right.
So now I have this shitty task of like being the wet blanket, because you guys could just look at me and go, "Dude, don't do it." But
yeah.
Now, okay, because there was about four or five actual single guys there, they were like, "Yeah." So I'm like, "Oh shit, now I have to be..." They came over, I was the king of parties just now. And now I'm the lame married guy going, "Sorry, fellas."
Well, it was you and Grooves, and I think Grooves was the one, like, you were like, I don't really want to." And then the other guy looked around, he's like, "Come on, guys, what do you think?" And I think Grooves was like, "No, I don't think we want to do that."
Yeah.
And there's clearly a twinge of disappointment in his face and, like, three other guys who were like, "Oh."
Well, here's the other thing, because those are great points. But even if it wasn't – even if those weren't factors, that's going to change the entire dynamic of the party.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Even if it was a bunch of single guys. Like, you go from having fun playing poker to a house full of horny dudes.
Yeah.
Which is a weird party
to
be at.
It's a weird party.
But it was all, like, ingredients between me, Groobs, Edge, you.
Right.
Everyone who's married, their eyes got wide. Like, "What are you doing? No, 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 no,
no." And we all just started making eye contact with each other. Like, "Oh, you want to leave now? Let's leave now. Where should we go?"
Yeah.
And it was so great, because I had this twinge of pride. I was like, "Way to go, Grooves and Shores. You guys really did it." Because, like, and also from my perspective,
Edge is just backing out of the room.
Right.
He's like, "Maybe if I make it to my car before they even finish this conversation."
I don't know half the people there. Like, I know some of the people. I don't know all of them. For all I know, this is a group of single guys who really want to do this. I'm not going to be the wet blanket who shows up to somebody else's house and goes, "No, you can't do that." So I'm like, "All right, I'll just leave." But for you, you can't do that.
I had to pull the trigger and be the wet blanket. But thankfully, right when I went, Nah, you guys did chime in. You Edge and Groove's were like,
we're not gonna do that. And the best part is later on, like he comes up like 10 minutes later, and he's like, well, you know, you guys, since you guys aren't doing your thing, I'm gonna go have sex with those girls I was talking about. And
he just leaves.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't realize the whole thing that you were saying that he wasn't going to pay him, because I thought before he wanted to pay these strippers to come over. And so I just turned to Grooms and I was like, so wait, those weren't strippers. Those were prostitutes, right? Because if you're just like, okay, well, those strippers I was going to have come over, instead of paying them to come dance for us, I'm going to go pay them to go have sex with them. Then they were just prostitutes the whole time.
Yeah. And let's revisit why I didn't want any, like, girls to be in the house in the first place. Like, because
had sent that in a message about the poker night. No women allowed, guys.
Yeah. If you guys were like, even like, hey, my friend Jen wants to come over. She's one of the guys. We go way back. I'm like, yeah, I know that. And I know the girl you're talking about. She's super cool. But I just think that everyone would feel a lot better if all of a sudden we go from, no, you can't bring your platonic girlfriend who all of us know over to, oh, yeah, let's have a couple prostitutes over, though. That's fine.
Dude, I think you could. I stand by your decision, and I applaud you for that. But I think you could have struck a fair compromise. The strippers can come over. They have to stay on the trampoline. Because that kind of segregates them to different areas.
That's true.
It's kind of fun.
All the single guys get to hang out outside. Everybody else has to stay inside. No, I liked it. But I must say, Ryan, I was very proud of you. Because a lot of guys found in that position, especially, you have to understand, and women may not get this, there's a lot of dude vibes going on at a dude party.
Oh, yeah.
It is very hard with a lot of dude vibes to be going on.
And
to be the one that's
about to get harder.
Yeah. It's really hard to stand up and be like, oh, guys, I got to stop the dude vibes for a second and say no chicks coming over.
It sucks being that guy. Like, I didn't see that being a good time either. Like Dave said, that changes the dynamic. Right. We're all having fun, drinking, talking shit.
Shooting fireballs.
And then now what? These two strange women are in my house. I'm wondering if they're stealing or not. and knowing tomorrow that somehow I'm going to be caught. And not only me, that's going to get back to your wife.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and by the way, let's say like I did say, yes, they can come over. Even if you, Grooves, and Edge left like you were planning to, it would still get back that they were over. You'd have no proof that you weren't there if I got caught.
Oh, says you. I'm taking a timestamp picture of all of us leaving.
Yeah.
We would all meet at a Del Taco 2 miles from your house, check in on Facebook, and take pictures of us there nonstop the entire time.
They're just Facebook Live his departure from the party.
I was even worried about, you know, the girls finding out that there was even the possibility. Because even though this friend of a friend who no one even knew suggested it and everyone shot it down, like, I was even worried about, like, so you're saying you had to struggle with that decision? Like, no, I didn't struggle with the decision. Like, no, he asked me, said no. So you're okay with bringing over guys that just want prostitutes to go, no, I don't, I mean, he was, I didn't even. What happened here?
I know, you should be fucking applauded. You got over the testosterone, you came over dude culture, you established the rules, and you stuck to like being a good dude. You should be applauded. You should get a BJ for that. That is top quality duding.
Yeah, I still feel like someone's going to be in trouble after this episode.
I don't know.
Bobby's right. You deserve a BJ. I know a couple strippers I can bring over to the podcast right now. We'll get y'all set.
No, sir. On that note, I'm fucking out of here. I'm Ryan for Tave and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos. Yeah, drink it, you little faggot. Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.
How come every time I try and go make meth in an RV with a crazy dude from New Mexico, shit doesn't happen to me?